Welcome to Running on Ice, the coolest community in freight. I'm your host, Mary O'Connell, bringing you the latest tech updates, warehouse news, and everything happening in the cold chain world. Not only is there the coolest show in freight, but there is also Running on Ice, a newsletter that could not be colder. You can subscribe to that on freightwaves.com/runningonice. Today, we welcome the one and only Sham Krishna, VP of Healthcare Solutions at Softion. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
I am excited because we have talked to Softion in the past, but we did kind of more of the data and we did a lot of the technology behind it and kind of the automated warehouse that you're doing. But today we're diving into healthcare solutions. And I like that because there's a lot that I don't know about the healthcare world. And I feel like you're the right expert to get me some more knowledge on it.
Let me help you out there.
All right. Before we get too far into it, let's get some background on you and kind of how you got started at Softion.
Well, The founder of Softion, who was a principal architect of the product, he and I were friends, worked together, mid-80s, and then later we kind of reconnected in the mid-90s, and then he had this dream of building a supply chain product. And then the journey began in 1999, being through the journey as a called an employee, one of the first few employees. Do you remember employee 2, 3, or 4, whatever? It's been an incredible journey until 2021, where we got into global healthcare systems in a big way. Until then, we were known for retail, consumer product goods, e-commerce, automotive, and several verticals. We grew very fast, and then turned to be industry leader, and then in healthcare, it required a lot of, a lot of efforts in terms of because the pharmaceutical industry is very regulated, very specialized and focused. So it required a lot of expertise, for us to prove to the world, the pharma world, that we are capable of delivering the solution and our platform is ready for it. So for me, the journey for in pharma and healthcare started somewhere in the early pandemic, 2020, but then it solidified from 2021.
I think the biggest understatement of the year is that when you said the pharma is a little particular and you really have to show them that you know what you're talking about, because pharma, I think, is quite possibly one of the most intricate industries to work in.
Oh, absolutely. I think the fundamental thing about pharma is I think it's no such industry except perhaps, food and beverage will come close to it because that's also under FDA regulations and cosmetics, of course. But if you really look at the fundamental thing, everything which drives pharma is patient risk, right? So the systems, the quality systems, the compliances, they would always say, when you're doing something, whether you're building a hardware or a medical device or a software like Softion, we're writing, implementing a software for healthcare. Ultimately, does it cater to the industry? Does it cater to patient risk? Every single operation, has it been tested? If it is hardware, the operational pieces of the hardware, the equipment, the robotics, the automation, et cetera. And if it comes to the processes which we are configuring to deliver the solution, has it been tested? Because everything is patient risk. And then there's a whole very complex methodology of risk assessment. Everything gets driven from that. The requirements are driven in pharmaceutical world from risk assessment. So from that perspective, I would say that it's a challenge and it's unlike other verticals.
I mean, it really is because, when I would ship agriculture seed, I would be like, look, and they're like, oh, we have to get this there. We have to get this there now. And I'm like, look, it's a truck of seed. Like if it gets there today or if it gets there tomorrow, like nobody's going to die because it's seed. But in pharmaceutical and healthcare, like, no, that it's monitored because it literally could be life-saving medication or it could be life-saving support where, it does matter. And to me, that makes it probably one of the most stressful verticals to work in because everything actually does matter.
And today's world, because again, manufacturing and supply chains are globally, you know, distributed. So which means if I'm a pharma manufacturer and then I'm sourcing my raw materials to make a particular drug, let's say it's a blood pressure medication, the ingredients, the raw materials, which is going to making that drug, is coming from different sources. So we're talking about the quality of those and then the consistency, right? I mean, you could have, you know, a good quality raw material which goes into a drug. But then the question is, what happens, let's say, the second batch, which is being sent by the vendor, gets contaminated, which means I got to go trace all the lots which are being produced and distributed. It could be in the down the supply chain. It could be in a pharmacy store, or it could be in a distributor, or it could be in a warehouse. How do I pull back? So recall, patient, you know, patient experiences, anything which triggers recall, contamination of drugs, counterfeiting of drugs, exploration of drugs. Everything has to have a process by which we know what's happening in the supply chain and how we can pull it. So that drives the whole global supply chain logistics. And I think that would be the key challenge for us as we go into the future. The supply chains are becoming global. It's not like we have everybody manufacturing, distributing, and then shipping out. It's all distributed these days.
Yeah, the global aspect of the global supply chain is cool until you have to kind of figure out part of it and go, okay, what have we done? How do we fix this? What do we do here?
Right. And I think on one hand, people, you know, complain about regulations. I mean, I'm talking about the other industry verticals. Regulation is necessary, and more so improving all the regulations, like bringing in new rules and tightening, is simply because how do we manage global supply chains when we have antiquated regulations, right? So one of the key things we noticed at Softion was the Drug Supply Chain Security Act, where, you know, the industry was going through a big transformation from the earlier phase one DSCSA, you know, in the 2015, 2016, and then all the way to full traceability from the highest, you know, let me call it pallet or container level of drugs that's being shipped all the way to a unit or a bottle level. And that becomes a challenge, and it's getting mandated. And now with 2023 was a mandate where a pharma had to comply, but given the pandemic, post-pandemic, et cetera, so in terms of the industry readiness, so they extended it by another year for enforcement. So I think those are things which would help track and trace all the way from unit level and then take it to the next parent until you get to the highest level of aggregation, which are the big pallets which get shipped. So at every level, you know, the industry is looking at track and trace and also the status of the product as it moves through the supply chain, what we call the disposition. You know, it's a good, you know, has it gone good, has it gone bad? Particularly in cold chain logistics, which we can talk more, but these are the things which are happening given the size of the global supply chains these days.
One of the things that I think you touched on is that the track and trace aspect of it. And a lot of it comes down to, you know, your warehouse management and other stuff like that. And that's something that, I mean, you guys are kind of, I don't say you're like the number one experts in, but you guys are really good at warehouse management. And kind of helping those agile WMS softwares. So I guess kind of getting more into that side of things, kind of what is there a difference between those traditional WMS softwares or platforms that say, okay, well, we have 10 pallets here, 4 pallets here, and it kind of shows where everything is versus those, the more dynamic agile WMS platforms. Is there a big difference between the two of them?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the agile WMS, yeah, it's a good question because agile WMS means, you know, given the supply chain processes, you know, it's globally spread, number one. Number two, we are also looking at supply chain risks involved. What happens if, you know, during a pandemic, you know, a whole region or a country gets shut down, and if you're looking at just-in-time inventory, just-in-time distribution, everything is real-time, right? You don't stock and distribute or stock and sell, right? So certain regions, certain segments get crippled. So how do you handle supply chain risk? Third is, how do you handle products and how do you track, you know, whether I have enough expiration date and times and all that? So a lot of these processes have to be orchestrated. And the speed of orchestration, right? What I mean by that is, what happens if I'm a warehouse manager and then, you know, I have a certain demand I need to fulfill, but my anticipated days of supply, right, from four vendors gets crippled simply because one vendor in a region gets into a huge problem, right? It could be a recall problem which he's having, his own government, let's say he's in another country, his own, he or she is saying, you know, call me up and then say, look, I have a huge problem. I'm on a product recall. My supplies to you is going to dip by, you know, X percentage. So how do I balance that? So agile WMSs will be able to reorchestrate business processes and say, okay, somebody else has got a different, capacity, but I can, you know, ask them to supply more. But in a pharmaceutical industry, what really happens is then you're looking at, regulations. Are they licensed to ship those products? Are they, you know, it could be state specific, it could be region specific. Everything comes into play. Traditional WMS are so siloed and customized and developed. And when there's a big change like this, they would just simply, you know, fail to function, or they put in extra efforts to customize. So they're always not resilient, you know, in terms of how they can, you know, manage these situations. So whether it's supply chain risk or, you know, fluctuations in demand and capacities, or change of how I source products or how I distribute products. An agile platform, typically it applies to non-healthcare as well, but more so in healthcare because you have all these other constraints, right? Lot expiration, disposition of the drug, good or bad. You're adding those complexities to the regular distribution process, and that makes it so in agile WMS clearly is a need of the hour. And Softion is positioned for it because we grew on an agile platform. We learned our lessons from the non-healthcare industry, and we were mature enough to use some of the best practices, bring it in.
I mean, when you say that, it really kind of it allows for all of those, because I'm not a software expert by any means, but anytime I hear something agile, I think of, this is a really bad comparison, but I think of like the dog agility, where they have to go through like the poles I have to hop between. I know there's a name for it. I don't remember what it is, but to be able to make a decision and hop that quickly, I think is still the same, general philosophy that carries over into, different types of agile software, or different, project management. I know there's a whole agile thing for that. And I think that that is that one common thread, no matter how you're talking about it, is how quickly can you alternate and change and keep moving? Because that is something that I think a lot of people get hung up on when they have to come up with a plan B or do something else. They have to stop, like bring business to a stop and say, okay, well, now we have to go do this thing over here. When in reality, if you already have it set up for that, like you said, oh, if I need to pull from a warehouse over here or a distributor over here, I can just go ahead and do that. And it doesn't require like 10 meetings, a couple meetings that could have been an email, and, 6 months of planning. It's just, oh, okay, so-and-so makes a decision and we're moving on. And I feel like that has to free up a lot of time and, energy that is spent on making these decisions when you don't have the technology to kind of help make them for you.
I think there's a little difference, right? I mean, a lot of people would say, yeah, I'm using the right platform and tools to build this IT product. I can do it agile because, if my customer wants to change, my pharma customer wants to change a business process, I can do it in 2 days, as opposed to my competition would take 30 days. But it's not that. What we really need is, for example, in the real world where, you have the conventional, pharmacies dispensing, slowly the CVSs and the Walgreens and the mom and pop pharmacy stores are also, being complemented. I would say it's not being replaced, but there's a mix of e-pharmacies and the traditional pharmacies as well, right? So which means ultimately when you're shipping to goods to patient, right, kind of scenario. The most important thing is that we need to ship overnight, or we need to ship today to the person who's going to receive the meds, the prescription meds, right? But when I'm fulfilling, and then, I have a certain SLA, right? I got to ship to-air, right, a ship ground, whatever is the method, right? But let's say in a big multiple distribution center environment, right, I have 10 DCs. I'm talking about large operations. So first, there could be several examples. There could be transportation constraints, snowstorms, shutdowns, you know, outages in certain regions. So can I take a prescription or a prescription line and then split it and then say, hey, I have my DC in Midwest. Can I drop it and have it fulfill and then still ship it, right? That's the agility we're talking about, because it's not only the WMS. What Softeon has is the distributor auto management layer, which says that I can split even at a prescription line level and then drop it. And then I can still look at, hey, do they have the capacity? Can they still fulfill my order? You know, I don't willy-nilly drop it into it, but there are multiple constraints. And finally, there's a cost-benefit optimization. If I do all that, you know, can I still meet the right SLA at the right cost? Or it could be like I drop it, but then that warehouse is not authorized to distribute because of state licensing regulation or DEA regulations, controlled substance. Several rules kick in, and then the system, you know, evaluates and then drops it. So we're really talking about a very high volume fulfillment. That's the meaning of what we say is an agile platform gearing up for healthcare, not only in a B2B environment, but also to direct-to-patient environment. So which is a clear difference between the agile tools and my platform is great. We can onboard people quick. I mean, customers quickly, but it also means agile processes, ability to be nimble and then change and then meet the customer demands and volatility.
That is something, the one thing you said about the each state having different regulations and different, you know, like FDA approvals at different warehouses. That's something that I didn't even think about. And I honestly probably would never have thought about, just because I just assumed, oh, okay, well, if I'm a manufacturer, I can put it at any of my warehouses. But in reality, no, because each of those warehouses or those distribution centers or those manufacturing facilities, they are all cleared and allowed to do specific things. So I guess when you are trying to plan out a network and, you know, make changes based off of whatever you need to do, that does add an extra layer of complexity.
Absolutely. And very interesting, as you pointed out, you know, we're facing situations where, let's say, if, and especially a 3PL, right, when we haven't talked about 3PL you know, as a entity to handle global pharma logistics and their complicated problems these days, right? And we can talk about cold chain later as well. The fact is that a 3PL is receiving products from different states or different manufacturing divisions of the same manufacturer or a distributor, you know, shipping to a hub, a 3PL hub. So the challenges are, you know, you verify the licenses, so there's a license verification process. Then you're also complying to the DSCSA, the new DSCSA Act at the time of receiving. We're hitting the serial number management repository, whatever that might be. There are several companies who are offering that. So Softeon is agnostic to it. We can work with any serial number management repositories out there. And all of this is kicking in as the pallets are being received at the same time as it's being put away, or when a customer order comes in as it's being picked and fulfilled. So it's getting more complicated when you have the combination of license verification, which is state and regulations, or it could be DEA regulations. Then you talk about DSCSA serialization. And as the companies are transitioning through, right, you have companies who are still on old phase one serialization. Now they have to journey to the new NALBA 2023 mandate, which is going to be enforced in 2024. You're talking about added pieces of the puzzle, right? I mean, whatever you might call it, it gets more complicated. And then you still have a single platform. And software, we don't say, oh, you need this, so you have this particular module or this particular version of the software. But, oh, hey, you need this, so I'll give you another version. So we have a single seamless platform, and it's global. So the same things that you talked about from a state-specific point applies to Euro-serialization, for example. So you could have a EU repository, and you got the regional repositories in UK or Ireland or any of the EU countries as well, right? So all of those orchestrations are the need of the hour. Especially the modern disciplines.
That is exhausting on so many levels, trying to keep track of all of that. And I don't even know how, This is just completely unreal. I don't even know how you guys would begin to build a software that can do all of this.
So the journey starts in a simple, how shall I put it, Lego piece approach, right? You cannot build these complexities in pharmaceuticals, you know, until you start building the foundation. If the foundations are strong, then everything falls into place. So what did we do? So our journey started when we partnered with a global third-party logistics company, which is, you know, really it has a significant footprint, you know, in the healthcare industry. And so when we partnered with them, the journey was very exciting, and while stressful, it kind of was a collaborative, true partnership experience where we decided that what do we want as a first building blocks? I want a license verification. I want simple Facebook, you know, serialization, because a lot of their customers who are using their logistics services, they were on a legacy platform, and the legacy platform was still not catering to the full DSCSA 2023 requirement. So how do we move them? You know, first, that was the first problem. How do we bring in compliances like license verification, you know, Canadian compliances or, you know, European compliances, so on and so forth. So as we understood the requirement, also what we did was for the first time, I think it's very few organizations are doing that. Even the compliance audits, adherence to all the federal regulations, that itself was contracted out to the SaaS vendor like Sofion, right? This is going to be a very unique game changer. A lot of the industries will say even this, you know, is something where we can offload, because we want the vendor, the software vendor, to supply us a fully validated platform on the cloud. When I say validated, it means validated for FDA or the European counterparts and so on. So when we had to build that, so we had to build brick by brick and then take it to a certain set of pilots as an implementation. We can have a few pilots in the United States, a few pilots in Europe, so that we knock each of the critical things. Then what happens when last year was a year of scalability for us, when we were done about, you know, 15, 20 migrations from the legacy platform, retiring those and then bringing them onto our platform. And then another 20, 30 new business, which because of the agility of the platform, they were able to very quickly go to market and say, we can have you up and running in 1 month, 30 days, 90 days. So it was so much underheard of in traditional just ERP systems, where it takes months to implement ERP. The journey had to be, you know, built on number one, foundations, and then number two, Lego pieces, and then move from United States to Europe or South Latin America or Asia Pac. So we built that, and then we were ready. Year of 2023, we had a fully mature platform catering to a global pharmaceutical and life sciences logistics solutions.
I am just blown away that you can get someone onboarded and up and like set up in under 6 months, because I never seen anybody do something in under that amount of time.
Well, to be honest, we have even done in about a month's time. I would say I'd be conservative in saying that, because there are two reasons. Even, you know, however ambitious a customer can get, even saying that, can I have this customer onboarded in 1 month or even less? Sometimes it's possible given the nature of the products, right? For example, if the products are non-serialized in nature, and the kind of requirements are not really high patient risk, you can have supplements, you can have vitamins, and you can have simple, you know, med devices. It could be like, you know, consumables, rubber gloves, you know, vials and stuff, whatever it is for, you know, to carry medicines. The more it gets complicated, like, for example, when you're talking about license verification, serialization, other compliances, there is that period where even after configuration and we're ready to go live in let's say, 30 days or something, there is a GAMP validation. Typically, GAMP is nothing but good automated manufacturing practice. Sometimes you call it GMP, good manufacturing practice, if it's not automated. So whether it's GMP or GAMP or GLP, good lab practice, there is that the client's audit mechanisms and the compliance teams who have to accept the system, no matter how fast we configure it and get it ready. So that adds to that little overhead. But I've seen cases last year where we did some excellent high volume onboarding in a matter of 30 to 45 days, and which is unheard of before. But thanks to the second point I was mentioning, is as we understood the domain and then understood, after we started doing pilots and then more complex implementations, we started building the configuration wizards and tools, right? So which means the client becomes self-sufficient more and more. They're not dependent on me. And then that dependency would have been like 30, 70, 20, in the first year. Now, last year, it would be the other way about, right? They could do 80% themselves and 20% still rely on us, because some interfaces, automation, robotics, a lot of those things will come into the picture where we have to help and lend our hand. Then that becomes added to the configuration wizard. So they just keep cloning the configurations and then changing specific to that business process. So the agility also gets that much faster due to the wizards and tools, which again, talk about the state-of-the-art platform. Yeah.
I absolutely love that. You guys have made it easy to add other vendors in and just made it just kind of straightforward. But that being said, we are running out of time. And Sham, there is a question that everyone that comes on the show has to answer. Are you ready for it?
Yep.
Is cereal considered a soup?
No. I believe cereal is a cereal, and I have my own reasons. Soup to me, I do love Indian food, right? So soup to me is like a thick, spicy gravy, right? And my definition, or the way I've been raised as a kid, always is a different thing. And I love my cereals too, but I can never call it cereal soup. But I do love my Rice Krispies, and I got to switch to more formal, healthy cereals and not too much sugar. But certainly, I can't imagine soup being a cereal.
You're not eating Rice Krispies with some nice curry? Like, come on.
But I have to separate it out. I can't mix it up, right? But I love my, the minestrone soups, and I love Italian, by the way. And then some Spanish soups I tried. I was on vacation last time, last summer in Spain. And so there was like fabulous, flavors and stuff. But I can't begin to myself. I think that. Soup and cereal or something. I wonder why people believe that.
I have no idea. It's a question that someone has posed, and some people have thoughts on it, because technically, by definition, there's like a broth, and there's like something inside of the broth, but the broth is just milk. So, and there's cold soups. Like, there are still quite a lot of debate here.
But watching Food Network, I can see where this is going, because I've seen a lot of fusion or whatever, right? I mean, they bring I'm a fan of watching it, but, I miss the traditional, keep the separate dinner.
All right, so if anyone wants to find you outside of the show, where can they find you?
Well, I'm not much of a social media person, but send me a post on LinkedIn or email me directly. I'd be happy to answer the questions or share any thoughts or if there are people, interested more in healthcare.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. And it's been an enjoyable conversation, Mary.
You can catch other episodes of Running on Ice right here on FreightWaves TV, YouTube, or anywhere else you get your podcasts, like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Need more Running on Ice news? No sweat. Subscribe to the newsletter on FreightWaves.com/Running on Ice. See you on the internet.